Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Your Next Mission, a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. And today's episode is the third in a series that have aired each day this week, commemorating the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the Pentagon, 9/11. This series will culminate with a live Your Next Mission podcast from the Air Force Memorial in Washington, D.C. on 9/11. Now, before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, and Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. As I mentioned, today's episode is the third in a series that have aired this week to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the attack on the Pentagon for 9/11, with the hope that we will never forget the events of that horrific day in our history. And I'm so excited to introduce a country music artist and a really a great friend, Mr. Darrell Worley, who wrote and performed the massive hit record about 9/11 called Have You Forgotten? And Darrell, I just want to welcome you to the podcast, and thanks a lot for being on here today.
Oh, it's an honor. It's great to see you and talk to you, and thanks for thinking of me, man. This is great.
Well, I'm going to get into some of these great questions here in a few minutes ago, but thank you for just taking the time, and God bless you for what you do each and every day of your life. You know, 9/11 is an infamous day in the history of our country, and I know our audience is eager to hear how you were affected from the events of that day. But before we get into that, can you tell me about, you know, really what you've been up to?
We are. So last year obviously was a dud. You know, we had a great, we had one of the best years on the books that we'd had in a long time. And then of course, you know, middle of March rolled around and it all just kind of disappeared because people moving it to the next year. However, you know, when things started opening back up, man, this has been an incredible year for me and the guys. We've been on the road a bunch. I've done a ton of stuff. You know, me by myself and the guitar. I've done a lot of full band gigs, a lot of trios and acoustic shows. We've just been really busy. And I, to be honest with you, I didn't expect it. And so it's certainly helped us to dig out of the hole from last year. And I've got a new music project that we're championing right now. We just released a single off of it called Send Me. It's seven or eight songs that are real patriotic songs, real pro-military songs. And we're using this project to raise money for veteran suicide. You know, I know at least your listeners will be aware of the 22 service members that we're losing every day in this country. One of the most horrific plagues I've ever even heard of. And so we got that project that's coming out now. I've been writing a bunch of Christian songs since my mother passed away. I was just kind of inspired, and she always wanted me to put out a Christian album, and I didn't get around to that before she went to be with the Lord. So I'm working on that now, and that won't be too far down the line. And then I have this really incredible deal that's going with a distillery up in Pleasant View, Tennessee. And we're using this commemorative line of spirits with really cool labels to kind of remind everybody about the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and to also raise some money for some pretty incredible charities that will also focus on this veteran suicide thing. So that's kind of our big deal right now. We're I just feel like it, you know, Charlie Daniels said to me one time, we're going to have to do this on our own because the government's not going to step up and help these people. So it's going to have to come from the private sector, and we're serious about it. We're going to try to raise enough money to make a difference.
Wow. You know, I tell people all the time, it's not what you have, it's what you do with what you have. And that's exactly what you do with every day of your life. I know you give back. And I just love the fact, one is I love the fact you're my friend, but I really love the fact that you want to continue to help our veterans and families. And I know I'm going to talk about it in just a second. 9/11, I know, affected all of us in this country. And I want to ask you about that. But first, I've been halfway around the world with you as you perform for our troops. There's no question. And we slept on a lot of those aircraft there. But no one knows more about how much you love our military. Can you tell us a little bit about, your love of your military and how that really came about?
Well, it's, you know, as you know, and you've heard several times, it's really a family thing. You know, it's just the military has been a big tradition in our family on both sides of the family. And our ancestors, you know, that we know about go all the way back to the Revolutionary War. And so it's just, it's traditional. I know that's part of it, but our family is very, very patriotic. It's just a natural thing. I mean, I remember as a child, you know, my great grandfather saying, get over here, kids, and line up. He'd make us line up beside his recliner. And then when it was your turn, you stepped out and looked to the corner, faced the flag and said the Pledge of Allegiance with your hand over your heart. I'm talking when we were just up off the floor.
Yeah.
And so with that kind of stuff, you know, patriotism is not an option in our family. To this day, you'd get your head peeled if you said something bad about this country or the people that protect it. So, you know, and down through the years, all the different great uncles and uncles and cousins and people who had just story after story after story about being in the different war zones and in the different conflicts. And when you see the effects of those conflicts on your own family members, and you see, you know, there's so many people out there that I come in contact with, and all of a sudden it comes back to me, they don't know anything about this because they've never experienced it.
Yeah.
You know, my family members in the conflicts. And so I try to be understanding about that and say, well, you need to check this out, because not only are they over there doing what they do, but their families are really sacrificing. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just that kind of a thing. It's in our blood.
Well, you know, it's you bring up a lot of great and interesting points. One of the things is only 1% of our country really serve in the military. And I tell people all the time, a lot of times that, you know, people, if you haven't walked in my boots, you don't understand what I went through. You don't understand the kind of sacrifice. But somebody like you that's been there and I know and that's been there and seen the kind of things that they that goes on, it's, you do understand, and you want to give back, especially because your family is so involved with that. But Darryl, you know that the attacks on the Pentagon changed all of our lives, and
I know it
really changed my life. Can you describe what kind of impact did it have on you?
Yeah, I mean, when you ask that question, I immediately go back to the day of. You know, I think that happens, but. I think you're talking about a little bit more about how it changes your life in general. I knew that in my lifetime that we had never had an event that was going to change history and do some major things in our lives like that event. And it made me take a whole lot of things more seriously. I stopped taking so much for granted. When I say that, you know, we have a volunteer fighting force that goes out there day in and day out and stands in the gap between us and anyone that would harm us. You know, I have said in the past, that don't cost you a dime. And some people would argue that, you know, it's taxpayer money, but I'm telling you, that's easy to take for granted because we're spoiled. We've always had it. And not only that, but on the home front, you know, the men and the women, police officers and sheriffs and deputies and state troopers and paramedics and EMTs and firemen and all these people that they're servants, they're public servants, and they do it because that's how they're wired. And so I stopped taking that for granted. And it changed the way I thought about my family. You know, the day of when the reality hit, what was happening, my first thought that went through my head, I was in Nashville, and I thought, if this is an all-out attack, my parents live right beside, and my whole family lives right beside a huge power-generating dam on the TVA dam on the Tennessee River Valley, and I thought, that's going to be a target. Mm-hmm. And I jumped in my truck. I left everything. I lit out, you know, like a madman trying to get there as quick as I could, and just in case something happened, you know. I mean, who thinks like that? We've never had to think like that here on our own soil. Mm-hmm. And it also just made me want to, I guess you could say I became a little bit of a prepper. It made me want to be a little more prepared for things that might come our way. And it made me want to think more about how blessed I am to be a free man.
Yeah.
People talk about freedom all the time, but until they go to some of those places where you and I have visited, they won't know what the value of it really is.
No.
And so I think it changed all of our lives in a whole lot of different ways. But as an artist, as a professional in what I do, I learned so much about media at that time and how they manipulate us and how it affects people's lives. It just really made me rethink a lot of things and live my life differently.
You know, everything that you said, I agree 100%. I used to call my wife every once in a while when I travel, go overseas and do stuff. And on that day, that I was in the Pentagon and a lot of things went on that day. But after that day, I think I called my wife every day, at least two or three times a day. And just what you just said a minute ago, it's the little things that mean a lot that you really take for granted, just yep. Going to a store, going to a gas station, doing whatever. And the other thing, and this probably is not a good thing to say on the air, I was angry and I wanted to do the people that did that, I wanted to make sure they paid for it.
Yeah, you know. I just stayed away from that. I thought I'd bring it up and then I'll elaborate.
Yeah, no, I don't want to say nothing bad because we're on a podcast, but the entire army that and the people I was associated with, it was angry to such a point. And the fact of the matter that you attacked us on our soil, on our country, and really, quite frankly, our country is, in my mind, it's sacred. And we should protect it, just what you just said, but it really made me angry, and I wanted to do whatever I had to do to make sure that that they paid for it. The other thing that I agree 100% is, again, it's the little things in life. I believe in life. I believe in God. I believe that, you know, treat every fellow man correctly and do what you can to be the nice to people. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out the way, but work through things. But I'm with you. It changed everything about the way I just – have that kind of perspective in life and what I really appreciated. I'm on top of it with you. We're talking with country music artist Darrell Worley about the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon. And you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. Darrell, Have You Forgotten, in my opinion now, was one of the best songs I've ever heard. I loved that. I love that song. I used to play it every day for all my friends. And so let's talk about what motivated you to write that song and give me some of the behind the scenes stuff. I always thought you wrote it on the plane coming back from Afghanistan, but that probably is not true. But that was such a masterpiece that you put together. I mean, I just my hat's off to you and all the stuff. It's a wonderful song. It really touches me inside every time I hear it.
Thank you very much. And you know, part of what you said is absolutely accurate. You know, some of the seeds and the ideas and where we wanted to go with that song came to me on that journey home. And I really didn't know for sure if it was going to be a song. I just knew that I wanted to do something after going to Afghanistan. You know, you guys had a lot to do with this happening. I would have never written Have You Forgotten if I hadn't traveled with you guys. So I'll go back a little ways. You know, I'm kind of like you when the very first thing that went through my head and my body when that second plane hit up in New York City, and then we started hearing other things that were happening around, I just saw red.
Yeah.
I talked to myself, and it was a horrible case of red. It was, because Bryce is like, settle down, man. That's not going to do any good. And I'm like, I said, can you believe this though? I mean, never in a lifetime would I have imagined something like that happening.
No.
You know, right on the home front. So, I was seething for a long time and letting that stew. I'm not one of those guys like Alan Jackson. I don't sit down and write that song that night. You know, I got to let it stew for a while. And so I've been thinking about our country and that attack for a long time. And Ted came and said, hey, they want you to go to Afghanistan. And I thought to myself, man, this is the perfect answer to all the prayers I've been praying. I prayed and prayed and prayed, God, what can I do to do my part, to be part of this team? And I stopped thinking about what my mission was after I got invited to go on that trip with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And did a bunch of them, not just the one, but that was the one that started off.
Yeah.
So I think somehow or another, some people had approached Ted and knew that I had a military background with my family and stuff. I didn't serve myself, but almost everybody in our family did. So it was just like I said before, part of the tradition. Going over there changed my life permanently. And on the way home, I told Ted, you and I, we are all just having a big time and enjoying the memories of our journey. And I said, but when I get home, I got to do something. I didn't even know what it would be, but not too long after we got back, I was in a conversation with this guy at the gym in my hometown. And he was carrying on about, oh, the United States is just out looking for a fight anywhere they can find one. And I said, Marcus, let me ask you a question. Are you not the same guy that was up here at the gym, like the day after 9/11 with tears in your eyes because your daughter was trapped in New York City and you didn't know where she was and didn't know how she was going to get home? You weren't even sure she was okay. Is that not you? Or am I remembering that wrong? He said, he just got real quiet and everybody got real quiet in the whole gym. And I said, let's step outside. So we went out in the parking lot. I think they thought we were going to go out there and fight.
Yeah.
Hey, but I said that and I thought, and he told me, he said, you know, I really hadn't thought about it like that. I said, the guys that did this are in Afghanistan training more people to do more things like this to our country. I said, that's why we're there. And so it wasn't 3 or 4 days later, I was in Nashville and I sat down with Wynn to write the song. And I said, man, we just need to write a song about what has happened to our country, how it's affected all of us. You know, and I told him about the conversation with Marcus. And he goes, man, he goes, just 2 days ago, I was talking to this guy and he popped off something about the same kind of, you know, garbage. And he said, I wanted to grab him by the throat and shake him, say, have you forgotten?
Yeah.
He said that. When he said that, it was like somebody stuck an ice pick in the back of my neck. And I looked at him and I said, that's it. And he goes, that's what? I said, that's the question that we need to ask this country. And that's how that song came about. But without the journey into the war zone, it confirmed everything that I'd ever heard or believed about the sacrifices, the tension, the anxiety that you carry on your shoulders just because you know you're in a place where any second you could lose your life and never see your family again. I mean, I don't think people really can grasp that or wrap their head around it. So my desire and my motivation to do something for those people that sacrifice so much every day, it came from that journey. So thank you. And thank you for letting me have an opportunity to tell people that and sit here and talk to you about it.
Well, you know something, it's you said a lot of really great things there, but you're really right. I wish if I was king for a day that I could figure out to get people to understand exactly how blessed they are, which you talked about, how blessed and honored we are to live in this country versus, and we got problems and issues and stuff like that. But 9/11, again, I appreciate the fact that that I live in this country and I love that flag and I love what we do. And I don't think we have enough respect for each other sometimes. And it really bothers me. But here's the other thing I think is really important. God put each one of us on this earth to do something, to change the lives of somebody. And you're doing that each and every day. And you did that with the song. And that's why, I love it. It's one of those things that when you listen to a song, it makes you think. Again, it makes you think about how blessed you are to live in this country and be around the people you want. And you did exactly what you needed to do. And I certainly appreciate it. And God bless you for all you do and all you continue to do. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast.
This Your Next Mission Podcast is made possible by The Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and Jack L. Taylor. We're blessed to be here today with country music artist Darrell Worley. And I want all of our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about any kind of topics you'd like us to cover on the podcast. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. I'll actually call you back or text you back, or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off, and you're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast, and I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. We're talking with a good friend of mine, country music artist Mr. Darrell Worley, who wrote and performed the song Have You Forgotten that about 9/11 that I love so much. You know, we're heading into our final segment, and Darrell, I'll tell you, this has been too fast for me, but we're heading right into our final segment today. And so, Darrell, let's talk about the trips. You know, we talked about the trips we had taken overseas and the troops we visited, and I know that had a lasting effect. In fact, I remember distinctly looking back at the stage, and I'd always see you back in the back talking with guys with beards on and wrapped up. So,
those guys.
yeah. But how, going overseas, you talked about it already, but again, I'm sure that had a lasting effect. And I guess what kind of effect did it have on you?
Well, if you'll remember, I threatened to go into the military after we did 2 or 3 trips. And you said, please don't do that. You said you can help us a whole lot more doing this.
Absolutely.
And I was at that time, I could have still probably joined the National Guard or something, but it was such an inspiration. I can still remember the way I felt. That was the best, if you want to call it work, that was the best work I ever did. I mean, and I felt like I was cut out for it. I felt like I had satisfied some urge. I kind of always wanted to serve. Me and all my brothers were going to go into the service. I would have been the first one out of the Worley side that joined the Air Force, and they told me I couldn't fly a fighter jet because my legs were too long, so I said, I ain't doing it. And my older brother wanted to fly for the Navy, and he got nominated to Annapolis, Maryland Naval Academy, but his eyesight knocked him out of it. And so it was just little things, but I'd always thought, man, if I had only just gone in for a couple of years and just served my country so I could say I did that, man, taking those trips. And I mean, that first one, second and third, not many people would be able to handle what we did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to call any names, but I saw some big old boys lay down on the sidewalk and say, I can't go any further. But we didn't. Me and Swa never quit.
Yeah.
We would go to 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it took, and get up at daylight and go again. And you know, we knew we weren't going to be there very long. And what I got out of that was the greatest blessing of my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you got to throw in your daughter and your wife and all that stuff. That's not in the same category, but you have no idea how many times I think about you and our friendship and how blessed I feel to have landed in those circumstances. At the time it was, you know, who wouldn't, after what we suffered in this nation, who wouldn't take whatever they had that they could give to those people that were over there fighting for our way of life, who wouldn't go and do anything they could to help? I just felt like I was part of a great team.
Yeah.
And those trips, I mean, you know what I know. I've got a combat infantry badge.
Yeah.
A 2-star awarded that to me and Joe and Swa and Scott Randon in to crit.
Oh my goodness. You know, cool. Yeah. First of all, I'll tell you, that's quite an honor for anybody to give you that at CIB. But that's a great. I want to tell you a story real quick. I remember one time I was when we took you over there. We always took you out to the desolate places, way out in way out close to Pakistan and all this other stuff. You know, where people didn't go. But I don't know if I ever told you the one. I don't know if he was with me or not. But I went to the Pakistani border one time, and there was a small artillery unit with some infantry and guys out there. And I remember getting out in there and talking to them and doing a bunch of stuff, having lunch. You know, I like talking to soldiers and I gave them a bunch of coins. I had coins. I gave them all coins. They loved those coins and got back on the helicopter. By the time I went back, they'd been attacked and three of them got killed. So I say this on this podcast because, you know, don't think 9/11 can't happen again. Don't think that... you know, the freedoms that you have, don't take them for advantage, because just what Daryl's saying, this is a free country, it's a great country, and it's the little things in life that make you free, and it's the little things that you do to help people out, help your fellow man each and every day. You know, Daryl, we went to Walter Reed. I know you went to Walter Reed with me a couple of times and seen, you know, seen some soldiers that are service members, not just Army, but all services that... were wounded, some of them missing legs and limbs and all that stuff. Did going to Walter Reed have just the same question, I guess, have any kind of effect on you too?
It certainly did. And I think it's probably a little different because, man, in that hit me so hard in my spirit and mentally too, to go there and see the reality of it all.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I tell the story a lot. Carrie Turner told me, she said, I've been communicating with this guy. He was a Marine Corps guy. And he was just blown all to pieces, and he was there. And she said, I swear, I think he just needs somebody to just blow up on. And so we made this plan I said, I'm just going to go in there and act like everything's just great, you know? And then I went in and I said, hey, how you doing, buddy? And man, he went off. And then he just started sobbing.
Yeah.
And Carrie said, whatever she said. And I told him, I said, you don't owe me any apology. I said, maybe I was thinking that I'd come in here all lighthearted and cheer you up. But either way, I'm good with the conversation that we've had. And we kind of did that on purpose, you know, and I think it got relieved some stress for him.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Probably just needed to let it go, you know?
Yeah.
And I think about all of those trips. I don't know how many times I went there, but several. I went there some, you know, when it wasn't with you guys too. And what you see when you go there is lifelong. If you lost that leg, you ain't getting it back.
No.
And I don't think a lot of people, you know, these guys come home and a lot of times they're just forgotten about.
Yeah.
So that's part of that had forgotten question. And we don't need to forget.
No, no. I remember you talking about, we're talking about Walter Reed here, but I went over to Walter Reed one time and there was the same thing. There was a young female that was in there that, that had lost, either, I think she lost one leg. She lost one leg and she was probably, I don't know, 28, 29 years old. And she was a mama. She had a child and stuff. And so I really, quite frankly, went in there and said, geez, how am I going to motivate her to, you know, to see what's going on and all that stuff? Sort of the same thing you're talking about, you know, that she needs a little assistance or motivation, I thought. So I went in there and she was tough as nails. She looked at me. She said, Sergeant Major? I said, okay. What, Sergeant? She was at Sergeant 5. What? She says, how do I get that prosthetic so I get the hell out of here? She was ready to go. But it's those kind of things that people have no earthly idea about, the kind of sacrifices and what they're willing to do
in the
defense of our country.
They're willing to do is whatever it takes.
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes. Yeah. And it's across the board. I have never, now, man, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I haven't run into a few guys that I could tell were carrying some of the things that they've been through heavy on their shoulders. Because, man, that's a job. But if you didn't run into some of those guys, you're not where you need to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I'm with you.
We did see that and we did experience that, but you just can't get them down. The morale, people would say stuff to me about morale. I'm like, good or bad. The morale is always where it needs to be. They're just strong.
Yeah. I always thought my job, you know, other than not just being a sergeant major, you know, my job was to motivate people and let them not think about it. So I know I challenged a bunch of them with one-handed push-ups and all sorts of good. I did all those things, but it was a way of letting them know that I'm real. I'm not no different than they are. I just got a different kind of job, but I never put myself above anybody.
They did know that too, Sergeant Major. I went with a lot of different people, but you were the guy that they loved and they were crazy about you, man, because of what you just said. There's a thing in our business we call the real factor. Mm-hmm. And I've probably got as much of that as anybody in the country music business. I got proof of it because I've just about, you know, they've just about run me out of town. They're like, this guy's, I go against almost everything that industry wants us to do. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the first things they said to me was, you got to make yourself less accessible because you're going to lose your mystique. I said, I'm pretty sure I can't even spell
it. You know, but people want to, you know, I've never walked by a soldier I didn't want to talk to. And if somebody wants to talk to me, I want to stop and talk to them. But it's, again, I'm no better than anybody else in this world. All I want to do is, again, live this world, live in this country free and be respectful to everybody. But let everybody be respectful to me, too. And I just, sure. I love this country. And I love, in fact, I love talking to people like you because you're, you know, I guess we can say no shit. You're the real deal. You're the guy that that I care about and I believe in. I know your heart's in the right spot each and every day. So I just, God bless you. Unfortunately, we're going to have to, you know, we're wrapping this up a little bit. I wish I'd talked to you about 2 or 3 hours because I just love talking to you. But I want to make sure that if you have any final thoughts about 9/11 or anything else you want to say, please share it with the audience. I think that's important for them to hear from you because you are a celebrity and you are a guy that that people care about and want to hear from. So please share anything you want to say here.
Well, I appreciate it. And let me say this too, right before I get into that. You've said a couple of things about yourself on these podcasts. Dude, you're good at this.
I wish Ted beats me up every day.
Something else, the mission is good. I love what y'all are putting out there because, honest to God, man, in this day and time, what's happening in our nation right now, people need a place to go hear this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
and stay grounded and stay focused on, man, it's crazy the way things have changed. And there's so much good about this nation that I pray every day, Lord God, please don't let that go away.
Yeah.
We're a powerhouse, and we have done so much good, and I hate to see those things slipping. So I just hope, you know, that we find traction and get things squared away. I want to remind you, you can go to DarrellWorleyWhiskey.com or LeatherwoodDistillery.com, and you'll see all the details, all the new labels, all the stuff that we're doing there to raise money for our veterans. You know, the 22 project will be out soon, and you'll be hearing about all that. You know, what I would say, I guess, that I haven't said about 9/11 is we've got a, this is kind of where Have You Forgotten came from too. We've got people in this nation that truly think that it would be better if we forgot about all this stuff. I heard a guy on Fox not too long ago, and of course they were just kicking dents in his head, but he just kept on babbling, and he's getting a lot of attention right now. He's got all these reasons why it would be better to forget about, you know, 9/11, forget about all these people who've died in combat, and because we can't really go on with our lives as long as we're hung up on all that. That is the most insane foolishness that I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. I mean, history itself tells us if you forget what you've done, that you'll do it again.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, you know, I would just say to people, let's hold on to our heritage and our history, and let's look back a little bit and see where all this good stuff that I'm talking about and all strength came from. Let's maybe try to go back and get some of that. Let's mimic some of that, because, man, our forefathers were strong people,
yeah,
good Christian people. And they came up with ideas. They didn't all think the same. They thought differently too. So, you know what? I believe this though. America is a very unique place, and whatever has come along that's challenged us, we've always overcome it. And I think we'll do that. I think we will prevail.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed to know you, Kat. Thank you so much for this time. And you've been so good to me. And listen, when I said what I said about the song, you're the one that said it's one of the best songs ever. It would not have existed if it hadn't been for those trips with you. And that's the God's honest truth.
God bless you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the everything you said today. And I appreciate what you do each and every day of your life for, you know, not just for yourself, but really for our country. And you maybe think of something. I think each day, you know, the people that are listening today, each day or that you go out somewhere, say hi to somebody. Say good day. How are you doing? What's going on? And put a smile on your face. Be positive about life, not negative about life. So, you know, look at the good things in life. And there's enough bad, but focus on the good, and that's what you need to do. Thanks to Darrell Worley. I'm Jack L. Tully, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and thank you for listening today. Please visit us at our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always tell people, make sure it's a good review, but leave me something now. Please know we want to assist you any way we can, just like Darrell and suicides and all the things that are going on. We want to help you out as much as we can. And please follow us on my personal social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And I never thought I'd ever say that, but, you know, that's something I'm into now. No, so, and thanks again to Darrell Worley for being with us and today. And thanks a lot for your friendship, Darrell. I can't appreciate it enough, and I can't thank you enough. It was great having you on the podcast, and you certainly made me think about a lot of stuff, and I hope you made the audience think about who you are and what's going on in our country each and every day. And don't think we got a bad country, because we got a great country. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Tomorrow, September 11th, will be the live at the Air Force Memorial, Washington, D.C., Your Next Mission podcast, commemorating the 20th anniversary of the attack on the Pentagon on 9/11. And please be sure to tune in and to all the social media channels to watch. And again, thanks for listening. And thanks to Cloudcast Media and, of course, our four presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military and their military families each and every day. And please watch tomorrow as we pay tribute to all those who were affected by 9/11. God bless each and every one of you.
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.